Welcome back to the clubhouse. Kyle Bailey, Will Stewart, Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. Hanging out in the McAdoo studios with you on a Friday. Don't forget, coming up later this evening, 6:50, Yankees pregame warm-up, 7 o'clock first pitch. After a six-game road trip, Pulaski's back at home for seven straight, starting with a four-game set with the Bristol Pirates tonight. Come on out and see us. We'd like to see you. Good weather on hand. I believe we'll have good baseball weather tonight. So, again, come on out and see us. Calfee's been rocking lately, so come be a part of it. Recruiting. I don't talk a lot of it, and I especially don't talk a lot of recruiting when you have kids committing for the 2017 cycle. Yeah. You know, the 2016 cycle is still, what, 6 months away at this mm-hmm. point, 7 months away, close to that?
Yeah.
So they were both 2017 commitments, correct?
No, Belmar's 2016.
That's
kid.
Right. You're
Smith
right.
Smith is 17.
So Emmanuel Belmar, the outside linebacker out of Georgia, and then Devontae Smith, the safety, who's a 2017 commit. Let's start with Belmar, three-star linebacker. I know mm-hmm. stars don't always matter. Your first impressions are what?
My impression is that Virginia Tech offered him on February 3rd, which means he was one of their top linebacker targets for this year. You know, offer lists, star rankings, throw them out the window. I'm always happy when Virginia Tech lands one of their top targets. And if this is a guy Bud Foster identified early in the process and wanted very badly, then I'm absolutely good with it, even if, you know, that offer list doesn't look particularly great on paper. I would project him at the backer spot at this point. Smith is a guy from, I believe he's from Stonewall Jackson High School up in Manassas, and I think he'd be this would be the fourth class in a row we signed somebody from that school. So we're starting to get a little pipeline going up there. 2017 kid, though. I mean, the guy hadn't even played his junior year in high school yet. Virginia Tech was his first offer, and he's a defensive back. So you can bet that a lot of other schools are going to jump on board here. I wouldn't commit that early if I was a prospect. Unless I just grew up – I mean, growing up like I grew up, knowing that I was going to Virginia Tech no matter what, yeah, I would. But for most of these guys, you don't grow up like that. I'd hold off a little bit.
Well,
so
yeah,
we'll see if this one sticks.
You're right. It's one thing if your lifelong dream school offers, or if you're one of these, you know, blue chip prospects that has, you know, 65 offers by the time their freshman season ends. You know, what over under on the number of weeks before this kid decides he's going to decommit and open up his options? I'll put the over under at 4 at this point. I mean, it is what it is. It's 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. Good for the kid. If he's steadfast and he's convicted that he's coming to Virginia Tech, good on him.
And what helps is that it is a pipeline school to Virginia Tech now at this point. You know, Stroman came out of that school, Tim Settle, mm-hmm. Reggie Floyd, all those guys coming out of that school. So it will help our cause that he has high school teammates going to Virginia Tech. But, you know, so a lot of other schools are going to jump in on him, but just because he's a DBU offered him early.
Yeah. Well, and it's like you said, you know, when Torian Gray and Bud Foster identify a kid that early and he commits that early in the process, it's only a matter of time before the other programs take notice and offers start flying his direction too. So, again, just hold your breath on this one. Let's wait and see.
So I was doing some research for some stuff I wrote recently, and I was researching the recruitment of Daddy Nicholas and Luther Maddie, and they went to high school together.
Right.
And, excuse me, what was really interesting about them was that Tech offered Daddy, I don't know how early, and he had a couple of other major offers, not necessarily Power 5 offers, but what's called the Power 5 now. But he had some schools you'd recognize on his list, and he finally committed to Virginia Tech the day before signing day.
He committed to Minnesota, right?
At some point in the process, you're right. But Luther had 5 offers, and they were from small schools. Things like Bethune-Cookman, Florida International, things like that. FIU is not necessarily small, but they're not exactly a football power. And Virginia Tech offered Luther the day before signing day, and he committed. So they picked up those two guys from the same high school right before signing day, no major offers, and now they're both preseason first team All ACC. You know, with Daddy getting the number one vote getter among defensive ends, and Luther, of course, number two at defensive tackle. And it was just really interesting to review all that and remember that. And you find yourself asking, where would Virginia Tech's defense be if they hadn't gotten those two guys the day before signing day, you know, 4 or 5 years ago?
Those two guys are of course, just the latest example of players that Virginia Tech has dug out and found to be, you know, really good prospects that weren't noticed by others. That's great. You hear the fan base saying, well, you know, you can only find so many of them. Recruiting's got to get better. You've touched on this, Chris. And matter of fact, I think this was like 2 weeks ago you were talking about Virginia Tech in this stage of the cycle and what the projected team rankings might be between 30 and 45 or something. We had people calling and emailing the very next Monday and Tuesday saying, you know, how dire things were and how horrible it's going to be and how do they ever expect to get back into national contention if they can't recruit any better than that. I get it. I don't want to downplay recruiting rankings too much because there is some merit to it, some science to it. But at the same time, if Bill Snyder can play in BCS bowls with a ragtag misfit toy bunch of guys who came from JUCO, you know, and were underrated, were unrated two-star guys that nobody else paid much attention to, it can be done. I'm not saying it's the rule. I'm not saying that's how you win national championships. But it's not all about the blue chippers, and we've seen that time and time again.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, just like the draft, whether it's football or baseball, it's not about the first round all the time. It's all about player development. And to me, that's the most important thing. Get guys with athletic potential, even if they haven't realized that potential. Like a guy like Daddy Nicholas, you know, he was skinny coming out of high school, but he was athletic and he had the frame. You know,
he played one year of high school football.
Yeah. So you get a guy like him.
Calvin Klein.
Yeah, exactly. And they're your sleeper prospects and you develop them. You don't expect them to contribute early in their career, although in the case of Calvin Klein, he did. But it's all about their long-term future. And some guys are highly ranked. You know, you look at a guy like Holland Fisher, great athlete, tremendous athlete, top 100 recruit by the recruiting services. But, you know, even the people who rank him will tell you, we didn't rank him this high because we thought he was going to go out and start as a true freshman or anything like that. We ranked him this high because of his long-term ceiling. He's a guy who played middle linebacker in high school. It's going to take him to adjust to play in college safety or whip because he's never covered anybody before. But he was ranked that high because of his long-term potential. So, you know, there are different ways to rank players, different reasons to rank players and things like that. And that's why it'll always be a crapshoot to a certain extent.
And going back to the Daddy Nicholas and Luther Matty story, they played for a high school called Atlantic Community High School in Delray Beach, Florida. I think they just go by Atlantic now. And so Virginia Tech has had those two guys from there. And, Chris, who else have they had?
Hosley was there.
Hosley.
Well, wasn't Flowers?
Yeah, I think Flowers.
David Clowney was there. Mark Leal was from there.
So yeah. I remember watching when these two guys committed, we went and watched film. And there's also something to be said about the culture of the high school that they go to. Chris turned to me after we were watching film of these two guys. He said, you know, they play defense like Virginia Tech does. You don't see this often from high schools. There were 11 junkyard dogs on the field for that team. They went after the football. They were frightening to watch.
Their defensive line were just brutal, just relentless. Like I would hire their defensive line coach as like a motivational speaker or something like that because they would just get after people.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and I think they've changed head coaches since then. But man, whatever they were doing back then, that defense was crazy to watch. The whole defense.
Yeah. Well. There it is. We'll stop with the recruiting stuff. How about that? Let's move on.
Sounds good.
ACC media kickoff. What are they calling it these days? Hashtag ACC kickoff. Clemson, Georgia Tech picked to win the Coastal and the Atlantic, or the Atlantic and the Coastal, respectively. I wasn't surprised by that. You know, there are a lot of folks that are very high on the Clemson Tigers this year. I understand why. Deshaun Watson certainly has Heisman-type potential and ability. You know, they've recruited well. But they lost Chad Morris, and they lost their front seven. You know, and I don't know. It's not that I don't think they can continue to play at a high level and win a lot of games. It's that that's a lot of continuity that you lose. That's a lot of experience and production to make up. And so I guess, like I've said before, I picked Florida State to win the Atlantic for a lot of reasons that I won't get into here. It's not that I don't think Clemson can or even necessarily will win it. I just feel better about Florida State at this stage in the game. They have their drawbacks, too. I guess, you know, first of all, Georgia Tech, I get that. I understand it. I still think, you know, you lose two-thirds of the backfield. That's more concerning than some people would let on. I know it's a system. I know the presumption is that Paul Johnson has guys waiting in the wings that know the system. He can plug them right in. And, you know, losing Zach Lasky sucks, but, you know, you can fill in a guy right behind him and you're not going to miss a beat. That's fine. But Clemson, I just can't get past the fact that you got a couple of guys brand new to calling games. You know, they're going to be doing it in tandem. You lose your front seven, including Vic Beasley, a first-round draft pick. I just don't know why folks think that Clemson is not going to have a little bit of problem right out of the gate, you know, being the same team, I guess, that we've seen last year or the same team for the past 2 years. I think it's more concerning than people are giving it credit for.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think they've got potential to be the best team in the conference this year. They've also got the potential to be the biggest bust.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get. There's too much unknown there. I would have probably voted for Florida State for the same reason. Not so much about Florida State, but more so about Clemson. And there's nobody else in that league that you can really vote for, I don't think. So I would have voted for Florida State by default. To me, it's that front seven. Ultimately, I think they'll be okay offensively. But that front seven, Brent Venables, you know, has a reputation of being a great defensive coordinator, and he is. And they were arguably the best defense in football last year. But they had a lot of seniors on that defense. How good is he going to be breaking in a bunch of brand new starters? And I know they've recruited well and all that, but from a consistency standpoint, only Bud Foster has been able to get consistent levels of good play out of a defense over the last 20 years. I mean, as far as when you're breaking in a bunch of new starters and things like that, and guess you're still in the top 20 in defense and stuff, only Bud Foster's been able to be that consistent, in my opinion, over the last 20 years.
No, and it's a good point. Now, to be fair, and I'm not saying that you aren't, but I have become a believer in Brent Venables, you know, over the past 2 years because – you know, they have improved markedly defensively.
And, bounds, yeah.
And not just that, you look at Oklahoma, as Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, pointed out during our conversation back on Tuesday, just look at Oklahoma's defensive struggle since he left. Yeah. I'm a Brent Venables believer. He's an excellent defensive coordinator, but your point's well made. He just, I don't think it's, and I admittedly haven't followed Brent Venables' career as closely as I have Bud Foster's career, but you know, there's a track record here in Blacksburg with Bud that isn't matched by what Brent Venables has done to this point. So it's sort of a wait-and-see thing for me. I think larger than anything in my mind is, can Deshaun Watson play an entire season without getting hurt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's you know, the couple of injuries he sustained last year, maybe it's not fair to pin it on him this early that he's an injury-prone type of guy, but it's a legitimate question.
I think, you know, expanding it beyond Florida State and Clemson discussion, I think the league is very interesting this year. I think everybody knew last year Florida State was going to win it.
Yeah.
You know, going into the season, or you had a really strong feeling that was going to happen. If you look in the Atlantic, there's a lot of questions with Florida State, a lot of questions with Clemson. Louisville graduated 10 guys who got drafted, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
NC State's got Jacoby Brissett coming back. His touchdown interception stats were pretty crazy. I think it was 25-6 or something like that.
Yeah, they're a dark horse, like legit,
you know,
a dark horse.
I'm not saying they're going to win the Atlantic, but they're very interesting. And then you come over to the Coastal and Georgia Tech. I mean, the quarterback is very frightening. But really, is the rest of the team going to be that good? If Virginia Tech can stay healthy, Virginia Tech can be really, really good if they stay healthy.
Right, as can a handful of teams. But your point about this, the pack is well made, because I noticed a handful of guys voting NC State to finish second in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I noticed that. So that's a team that people are high on, it in large part because of Jacoby Brissett, who played really, really well against Florida State last year. Really well. He carried them against the Seminoles.
So what year is their coach in? Is this his third year?
This will be his
Doran?
Third year.
Yes. Yeah. Dave
Doran. So, you know, it's kind of – you're going to find out a lot about him as a coach this year. And maybe the following year, you know, but it's kind of, I'm not going to say this year is a make or break year for him, but those people that are picking NC State second are counting on him continuing to build the program and make progress. You know, you never know what's going to happen. There's just, what's going to happen with Duke? Are they going to continue to be solid and give everybody a lot of trouble? I think there's a lot of interesting storylines as opposed to, yeah, we'll go play football for 3 months and Florida State will win it again, you know, which was kind of the feeling last year.
Yeah, no, I agree. Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com here with us in the McAdoo Studios. We'll take a break, one more segment with these two gentlemen, and we'll send you on your way. Yankees and Bristol Pirates tonight. Make sure to come on out to Calfee if you can't. Tune in for the pregame show at 6:50. Until then, keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.